Hello, welcome to another episode of the Jimmy Rex Show. And today on the podcast, I have one of the world's strongest men, literally, Kevin Ferris. He is a professional strongman. He has broken several of the world records and is an up-and-comer here in the U.S. as far as being one of the world's strongest men. It's a podcast that I'm excited to share with you, something that teach every single man out there how you can become stronger, how you can build strength as a man, and why that's important. So without further ado, let's get to the podcast with Mr. Kevin Ferris, one of the world's strongest men. Kevin, good to see you here, man.
Nice to be here. Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Dude, I was thinking of all the different fun contests or activities or things that I could bring in to have you do. And I was like, you know what? I bet he's be nice for him to just sit, relax, and do a nice little podcast. But you're one of the world's strongest men, dude. That's a pretty cool title to have around your name.
Not only the world's strongest man, but I'm the lightest guy by... I'm about 280 right now. The next guy's probably 340, 350. So, yeah, I'm strong, but I'm small.
Well, I was going to say, you're pretty ripped for, I used to watch the TV. It really became popular. I remember there was a guy named like Magnus Van Magnuson or something like that.
Magnuson.
Yeah, we would always watch those as kids because, you know, you had 12 stations and ESPN had the world's strongest man. That's what you watched. It was so fun to watch them. But I remember, and all the guys, though, they didn't exactly have a build or a look that you would necessarily want. A lot of them had way too much weight, and you don't. I mean, you actually, I was a little surprised. You carry your weight. Like, you look more like a bodybuilder than you do a world's strongest man contestant.
Yeah, yeah, my body's a little weird. I can't gain weight for the life of me, but I'm strong. So, and I keep getting strong and staying the same weight. So I don't know what the heck's going on.
So, I mean, at what point in your life did you just go, you know what, I think I'm going to go this route for the world's strongest man?
Well, growing up, I played sports, and by 13, 14, when I got into the gym, you know, at high school, it kind of just became just part of me, you know, getting strong, and I was skyrocketing, too, as far as pushing weight. And then I got out of high school, my wrestling career ended, and yeah, I kind of didn't know what to do with myself. I did the bodybuilding thing for a little bit, but didn't really enjoy it. Didn't really like it. I like my food too much. I like my treats too much. So I got in tune with a guy named Van Hatfield. He's a local strongman. He's been at the top pro strongman, and I went and trained with him once, and I guess I impressed him because he's like, "Yeah, you're not doing the bodybuilding thing anymore. You're training with me." So it started. My journey started in 2015, and yeah, I've just been moving up.
So, at what age is somebody in their prime of life for being the strongest they can? You know, because you need some of that old man strength, I feel like, but also you need the youth to be your best. What is in your world, what do they say is the prime?
They're saying mid-30s.
Mid-30s. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
So I'm getting to my strongest, but also my tendons and ligaments, we'll see how they hold up. But yeah, as far as your peak, they say around, yeah, your 30s, mid-30s is where you're the strongest.
And you're what, 33 now?
33 now.
Yeah. So when you started, I mean, just in high school, when you first started lifting, you naturally just could push a ton of weight from the beginning.
Oh yeah, man. I played football, and that's kind of the basis of it. And then I really excelled in wrestling, but I would, you know, I dedicate either the morning or right after school to get into the gym. And, actually had the highest record for my squat, bench, deadlift in high school, being a sophomore.
What were you throwing up in high school?
I had a 500 pound squat and a 500 pound deadlift. My bench press is a little iffy. I think I pushed like 260 was my max on those, but
260. So that feels a little low for how high your other ones were.
I know, yeah. So that finally caught up, but yeah, I got some strong legs. So
yeah, well, that's where the real strength is, right? In the lower body. I mean, so what's your record pushes as far as your different lifts at this point in life?
So I've had a 930 deadlift. I just actually went to the Rogue. I wasn't expecting to get to the show. So I was actually training for World Strongest Man, and yeah, I got the call up, and that's one you just don't turn down because you never know if you're going to get it again. So, yeah, training reps for deadlift instead of a max pull was kind of, it doesn't exactly
correlate.
It could translate, but it's tough, you know. Mm-hmm. I ended up pulling 901, not even prepping for a max pull, and on the bar that it was, it's called the Elephant Deadlift Bar, and it's an iconic bar. I mean, it's a $50,000 bar.
How many guys in the world have ever been able to do that?
I would say, as far as 900 pulled on that bar, there's probably, I would say maybe 10.
Wow, in the world.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a different bar too, because the more weight you put on it, that the bar comes alive. Mm. So yeah, the more plates you stack on it, it starts throwing you around, especially at my weight, you know. So I don't have the stature, the build like these other guys do. So, but yeah, and then I've actually never really tested out my squat, but I hit 815 for five, prepping for Worlds 2 years ago. Mm. So that was pretty good. That felt good.
Dude, what is an Olympic medalist in your weight put up on those weights, just to give an idea, like a gold medalist?
So as far as strongman goes, I mean, there's only about, I think there's, it's probably went up a little bit in the last year, but, over 1,000 pound pole. There's only eight 1,000 pound pullers in the world.
Wow. At any weight.
Yeah. So, that's my next break right there.
That's where you're going to go to next.
Yeah. That's, I want that before my career's ended. So that's my goal.
Well, and so, I mean, cause one of the things about weightlifting and powerlifting, I remember I got into it pretty young, probably a little bit too young. I was like 12 or 13. I started lifting myself, you know, and I was doing, you know, 100 reps of curl bar a night or whatever it was. Or I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I ended up kind of jacking my shoulders up in high school, and I didn't have the proper techniques. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't taking any kind of training. And I think a lot of people get intimidated by lifting. I know for me, I'm 41 now. And so I quit doing squats a few years ago. It's not worth the risk to me to blow my back out.
Yeah.
I do the leg press, I do leg curls, you know, leg pull, stuff like that. But, I guess for you, how do you go about doing it in a way where you aren't getting injured? How do you deal with the injury risk that comes with heavy powerlifting?
So when I first got in the sport at 25, like I just felt like I was bulletproof and I could just do whatever I wanted. But once I hit, and everyone says right at 30, you know, like that's when like things start feeling different. But it was actually 31 for me that was like, all right, like let's reevaluate, and it takes longer to warm up before I get into things, and recovery is, I would say I recover more than I actually do actually going to the gym, with my ice baths. I got a sauna, infrared sauna, getting massages, you know, just,
you're doing all that regularly.
Food, yeah. Food prep has to be right. Like, cause these guys that I'm going against, I mean, they're top 25 in the world, you know? Mm-hmm. So you gotta be on top of your game and make sure you're doing things right and recovering right.
Have you ever had a major injury?
So I went to, it was actually my first pro show. I went to Serbia and we were, it was a car deadlift for reps. I got to my 10th one and just extended a little too far on it. And, bulged my L5-S1 and lost all feeling in my left leg. And that was a scary thing. That was like, am I coming back from this? Like how, like, mm-hmm. is this something surgery? Is this something, you know, that's going to hinder me for the rest of my life? And it was a scary moment and a long trip home. But I ended up getting home, you know, and the community of strongman, like, is very, it's like a brotherhood. So like I reached out to some guys that I've competed with, you know, saw what they, if they've had these same issues. Cause I mean, bulging discs is sub in the sport, you know, so
a very common one,
you know, reaching out to these guys and just seeing what they would do. And they're like, oh, just stay away from surgery. Like that'll jack you up. Mm. Don't do that. So I actually, got in contact with a guy, Joe Richardson. This dude, is a magician. Like he taught me some stretches, how to pull the discs apart. I ended up getting an epidural, which helped the inflammation and, had full feeling in my leg within 2 weeks. So I was like, yeah, and I haven't had any issues since then. So,
wow, that's pretty cool. So how does one go about making money in doing what you're doing? How does it work? How does the economics of it work?
So when I first started, I was in 105s, which is 231 pounds. I got two world titles and two national titles. I went to Finland for my world title, and I was like, oh man, this is when I'm going to start making some big bucks. Like, this is exciting. They said in the rules or whatever, like there would be a good size pot. I ended up getting a $5,000 watch I never wear. I was like, can I just have the money instead?
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, like it cost me a lot to get over here. I didn't have sponsors at the time.
You didn't get the money for the flight over back.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is all coming out of my pocket. I'm working overtime just to get here. But, so that's kind of when I made the switch. Like, if I'm going to do this and I'm going to put my body through this and, you know, the time away from my kids and my family and everything, it's got to be worth it. So I made the jump to the pro stage. And so far I've been sitting pretty well. I've been sitting pretty good. I actually last year I made more than I did at my job doing fire sprinklers. So
awesome.
So I'm on the uprise. So
that's amazing, dude. So how you just got back from the Arnold Classic. That's the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic, is that
yep.
correct? And you did really well. You broke a record or two while you were there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, doing fire sprinklers and having a wrestling background, I've got some pretty good grips. Mm. So yeah, I ended up breaking my record from last year. You know, it's pretty funny because I don't want to walk any further than I have to.
Okay.
And I had a lot more in the tank, but, I sat, I don't know if you saw the video.
I'm
sitting there walking.
And how much do those weigh? Give the audience an idea what are you holding there when you're doing that walk?
The Denny Stones is an iconic lift that came from Scotland. These stones have been around forever. So one of them is 414 pounds and the other one's 352, I believe. And so they're different sizes.
Yeah, which
makes it even harder. Like the balancing game, the taller guys, it's harder too because the rocks are further out from you. Mm-hmm. So every time you're taking a step, they're bashing you in your legs. So being a littler guy, I'm able to take my steps at a good pace. And I've done really well. I got a record in that. And then I went to Scotland last year and broke my previous record from the year before in the nickel stones. They're basically same stones, just a little smaller. So yeah, I guess I'm a rock walking.
Well, dude, back in, you know, we're all products of evolution. And I mean, the guy that could carry the heaviest stuff the furthest was a very well needed person. So I'm guessing you have some amazing genes have been passed down since literally the beginning of man.
Yeah. 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 They say, you know, in Iceland, they had these certain rocks, and as a young boy, if you could lift these rocks, it basically either put you on, you know, a good job on the boats or a well paying job, like based off strength. So
of course,
yeah,
that's really cool, man. And so I guess as you started getting into this, I want to know, like, how do you get stronger? I think, you know, one of the things that's so cool about talking to somebody like you is you have been able to learn how to really just become stronger in every aspect. I think there's a lot of guys that would love to be stronger, don't even know how weak they are. Like right now I'm doing a push-up contest with a bunch of the people in my coaching program, and we have to do 100 push-ups a day. And a few of the guys were like, geez, I had no idea how weak I was. They took them, you know, 6 or 7 different breaks to get the 100 pushups. And now in just 2 weeks, they're already to like 3 breaks instead of 6. But they were like, I had no idea just how pathetic my pushups were, how weak I was strength wise. Because it is one of those things as a man, you really do got to be able to have some pretty good strength.
Yeah. I would say, you know, the first thing is just, you've got to have the drive. You got to have the drive to want to be stronger. I mean, I think that's the first step, you know? And then finding a coach that like can really tune in and help you do that. I mean, I even before I could afford coaches and stuff, like I just did a lot of research, mm-hmm. you know, I got online and saw what the biggest, baddest dudes were doing and threw it into my training, you know? So
how hard are you pushing yourself in the gym to break down your muscles enough to rebuild the right way to build strength? Like what's a normal workout day look like for you?
Oh gosh. So on Tuesdays, it's usually, I'm usually throwing in squats and overhead. I don't do much bench because my sport is mostly overhead stuff. So I'm doing like a log, or I'm doing a circus dumbbell, single arm circus dumbbell. So, but it's based off reps. Like I don't do, there's a lot of volume as far as like when you do bodybuilders, they'll do a lot of volume work because they're trying to build the size of the muscle, not the density of the muscle. So lower reps, heavier weight is what I would be doing to build the density of the muscle, to make it stronger. Bodybuilding, you're putting as much blood in there as possible to tear the fibers, to make the muscle bigger. So
you're not necessarily doing that with what you do.
No. I mean, off season off season or even between shows, I'll break down and kind of just do a volume phase just to give my body recovery from the heavy weight that I'm pushing all the time. But, it's been fun. It's been fun because training's never the same. Like I'm always throwing different things in because, you know, after 3-4 weeks, your body starts getting used to the same process. So you've kind of got to break it up.
And so what are you doing different? Like what's a tip? Like what kind of lifts are you doing? Are you using a lot of, like, are you using rocks and logs and more like a CrossFit type workout as opposed to going to a typical, like, would you ever go to a gym and lift like on machines and things like that?
No. So I've got a private gym here in Orem, off Center Street, that I've got, you know, I've got all my Atlas stones. I've got all my logs. I've got all the implements I need for a strongman basis. There is powerlifting stuff there too. But as far as strongman, like you've got to find a gym that has the proper equipment because you can't, I couldn't go to the commercial gym. And
that's what I was wondering.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no, I don't even think.
You're so, just laughing. Like, do they even have the stuff that's heavy enough for you to lift there? Or
I don't even
really
know. So usually on a deadlift day, I'm going up to, you know, around 700 plus pounds. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it'll fit that at a commercial, you know, because they got different plates. They got kind of bumper.
Yeah, you see like that dude that's got like 6 plates on each side and his girlfriend's sitting up there or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it'd be fun. I was thinking about doing maybe like a YouTube or something, going to Vasa and trying to just load up everything.
Yeah, I think we should do that sometime. And then I'll come to your gym and try to work out with your stuff.
There you go. There you go.
Well, it's funny. I just got back. I took my guys, my coaching group, and we went and did this thing called the Masogi Challenge. And the idea behind it is you work so hard one day of the year that it makes every other day easy in comparison. So it's 12 hours of hell. And we basically, I mean, so we all put on these backpacks, for example, and then every person had a different weighted thing we had. So some of us had a 75-pound kettlebell, some of us had a log, some of us had sandbags. It just kind of depended. And we're all moving it around, but we had to go on this hike where we're running and hiking with this stuff on us, you know. And dude, I was holding one of the logs for a very short period of amount of time, and my shoulder, just the angle of it or whatever, just not being used to it. You know, the kettlebell I did good with on my back, but man, like some of those things, I'm like, oh, I probably need to come to your gym and work out with the log a few times or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that is just different. Like, I was looking to sign up for, it was the Navy SEAL, basically a training where, you go for, I think it's 72 hours,
75 hours. Yeah. The MDK project.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the same guys that do that are the guys that came and did this. Okay. Yeah. Bedros and those guys.
So I was looking to do that on my off season just because like, I just want the drive. I want someone to break me down and build, like, I just want to be able to build myself back up. Mm-hmm. So I was really, really determined to do it. Just the timing wasn't right. I got to make sure that, you know, especially with my sport, like, cause that's a whole different animal. You know, I've got to get my cardio up. I've got to be able to run.
I was going
to
ask you, how much cardio are you doing?
So I don't sit and run on the treadmill. I'll do a stair stepper or something where I'm having to push off. Or I'm running implements. So I'm running sandbags, you know, 50 feet, sure. Running back, grabbing another one. So it's very heavy taxing cardio, but it's not like full endurance,
yeah,
like type running stuff.
More like anaerobic
type. Give me a minute and stuff. I'll run as fast as, you know.
But you don't want to run for 30 minutes straight kind of thing. Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
Well, it's funny when you see runners, like people that actually run, you know, marathons and all the time, they don't have a body that you would want to have. Like they don't, to me at least, you know, they're usually either really skinny muscle wise. And then some of them even have a gut a lot of times because their body, they're taking on so much carbs to run that much. And so I've always looked at runners like, yeah, I don't think that's my jam.
Yeah.
And then you look at bodybuilding or, you know, World's Strongest Man. And, it's just so you carry so much weight, like even though you're, you know, it's muscle and you're got so strong. Like, do you ever feel like the short term of being, you know, one of the world's strongest men, are you worried about what the long term effects of carrying that extra weight are down the line?
You know, I'm sitting at about 285, 290 right now. And I'm good here. Like mm-hmm. a lot of these guys that I'm competing with, they're 300 plus 400 pounds, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
And that I think is a lot harder on you. I mean, I'm healthy. You know, I'm constantly getting checked up on just making sure that.
Yeah, and you do, you actually, is, like I said, you look fit, like compared to, you know, I'm thinking of the guys on TV, like even when you walked in, I was like, oh, he's not as, I was expecting like somebody that was going to be like almost uncomfortably enormous, you know? And I mean, you're a big dude, like I'm not going to pick a fight with you here, but like at the same time, it's, you know, you don't look like somebody that I'd be worried about health wise.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And that's the one thing that I really have been focusing on. Like I want to be strong, but I'm not going to push it to the limit where I'm having heart issues. I'm having all these, you know, cholesterol and blood issues, you know, like yeah. I love this sport, but it's at the end of the day, it's not worth my health.
So. What is your, I mean, I remember hearing about, you know, like Michael Phelps diet and things like that. So like how many calories are you pulling a day? What does your diet look like on a daily basis?
Gosh, a lot of red meat, a lot of chicken thighs, rice, yams, potatoes. I'll throw my veggies in there, but I hate veggies. I usually drink them. but yeah, it's pretty clean. But to an extent, I've got one of the top nutritionists in the game. He's got multiple NFL guys, he's got multiple MLB guys and strongmen. So it's he knows what I need when I need it. I mean, as far as like pricking my finger and taking my glucose level to see like, hey, where are you sitting at right before you're doing this event? Okay, we're gonna top you off with something sugary just to get you to that next point. So he's very, very intelligent, very on top of things. So, you know, he'll throw in cheat meals right before I've got a big session coming up for as far as training events and stuff. So he's dialed it in.
And is it a full-time job being a world's strongest man or do you have a side job as well?
I do fire sprinklers as a side gig. It's kind of burning out.
Yeah.
You know, we're starting to get, you know, revenue and sponsorships and things coming in that,
yeah,
you know, I might be able to stir away from that. But that's another thing, you know, like I'm working a full-time job, you know, 50 plus hours, but I think it's helping me in my sport as far as, you know, obviously my grip, sitting there tight and piping it all day and you know, carrying pipe around on my shoulder and up down ladders, you know, like it's keeping me fit for what I'm doing, but it not necessarily breaking me down.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's a constant, it's using mobility the way it's supposed to be used, yep, in real life. Right.
Yeah.
And so when you were younger, like, was there any kind of like, did you always want to be you know, muscularly and big, or were you picked on at all? Was there any of that came into that play, or were you the guy that was the biggest guy on the playground? I'm just trying to think of myself. I remember when I was like, when I started lifting weights, I was tiny. I wrestled 114 pounds my freshman year. And I was like, this sucks. And so I just started lifting like crazy, yeah. You know, and I got really strong and stuff. But I just, cause I was a small guy. And for, so for me, it was a way to try to equal the playing field as much as I could.
No, you know, like, obviously, like I saw World's Strongest Man on TV growing up. Like I'd watch it all, like every Sunday, like it'd just pop up and I'd just watch it. And I never really thought, man, I really want to do this, you know, cause you didn't really see a lot of US guys. It was mostly,
yeah, they're always European dudes.
UK. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
Scandinavian countries.
How the heck are you even going to get into that? Like, I don't even live here. I don't live there. So, yeah, I don't know.
Are you the strongest guy from the US right now?
I'm one of the top. So there's five of us going to Worlds this year. Brian Shaw, he's 4-time World's Strongest Man. Oh. So he's, and this is his last year. This is his last one. He's done.
Wow.
Yeah.
You take over the mantle, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my time to shine.
When is the Worlds?
So April 19th through the 23rd in Myrtle Beach. So
that's coming up.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing between now? I mean, you got a month to prep for that. What are you doing in the meantime to like get ready for that? Is it anything out of the ordinary?
No, I'm actually going out to Brian Shaw's to train with him, with the other Americans, kind of having a little glorified training session and kind of, you know,
push each other a little bit extra
over the top. I mean, obviously, like I was saying earlier, like this is a brotherhood, like everyone knows what it takes to get to this level. Mm-hmm. So that like the arrogancy and like the tough man,
it's more respect.
You know, 100%. Like yeah. These guys, like I talk to these guys all the time. Like,
well, it's funny because in the real estate game, you know, I was one of the top realtors for 15 years or whatever. And all the realtors that were in the top 10 or 15 realtors in the state, like we all have this deep respect and love for each other. It's very much, it's not, we don't see each other as competition. We don't ever talk bad about each other. Like it's a deep respect because you know what it takes to be 100%. A top 15 real estate agent, you know?
100%.
And so I loved, it was funny, the agents that you'd always hear like talking shit on you were the ones that were below you. It's like the old saying, like you'll never find somebody talking bad about you that's doing more than you. Yeah, you know, right? It's like yeah. No one ever criticizes somebody that's doing less than them. And so anyway.
Yeah. And I, you know, like even coming up, like, you know, obviously having titles and other things, like I've always stayed humble because there's always someone there that can show you up,
yeah.
You know? So, and this is a gift. Like I have been blessed with this gift of being this strong and being able to stay healthy and stay in the game. And what would that make me look like? You know?
Yeah. When you can tell you're a nice guy, but do people ever come up and try to pick fights just cause you're the big guy or anything?
Not yet, but you know,
do people ever come up and just ask you, like they just assume,
what do you do? What do you do? You know,
why are you so big?
Professional ping pong player, you know?
That's cool, man. What's kind of, I guess for, you know, lifting and doing those kinds of things, what do you recommend to somebody that's just getting started that maybe wants to pack on some muscle in some way?
Honestly, just get started. That's the number one thing. Like I've got family and friends that, you know, they want to get into the gym, but just can't find the time, mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like that's a lot of people. They just can't find the time, but you make it a priority, you know, cause getting out, even if you're hiking, you don't have to necessarily go to the gym, get out hiking, go on a walk, go, you know, just get out.
That's why I like the 100 pushups. Cause on days like, so yesterday I had food poisoning and I just felt awful. Yeah. I was curled up in my bed for most of the day, but about 9 o'clock, I rolled off my bed onto the floor and I did my 100 pushups because I had to do something.
You know,
I had to
do it. Yeah. Yep. So it's kind of, yeah, it's just, it's gotten to that point, you know, and my wife and my kids hassle me about it because like, hey, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, like, you know where I am. Like,
long of a workout session do you do?
You know, it's 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, is that long?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's my sport. There's a lot of things that it's hard to set up because they're so big and like, I need a good team to do it. I'm blessed to have the guys that I train with.
So like when you train, it's a full on.
Yeah. 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 I've trained with, Jordan Larson. He's been with me since day one. He's been there ride or die buddy. So, and then I've got a few other guys. So, and they're, Yeah, they show up for me. They show up for me. And if even if they're not going to train, they show up for me just to get things set up because they know, you know, what it takes and what it takes to drive me and get to the top. So,
yeah. Has anybody ever gone from the World's Strongest Man to like gone into any of the professional sports like football or anything like that?
Yeah. So a guy I competed with a few weeks ago at the Arnold, Tom Evans, he played football. He actually walked on with Green Bay. Yeah. Let's see.
Is he a lineman?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, my buddy Bryce Walker, he played for the Aggies. He played defensive end. So, yeah, there's a lot of carryover, you know?
I bet. Well, just having that kind of interior strength on the line, if you could, you know?
Well, and having the background in sports, you know, I would say strongman's not necessarily a team sport.
Right.
And I think that's what drives me the most is because like, I think that's why I excelled in wrestling the most because it is a team event. Like obviously you can win the full on match, you know, but as far as you and the other guy, it's you and the other
guy. Yeah. It's like, if you screwed up, you screwed up.
Yeah. Whereas like a team sport, like you're counting on so many other people to, you know, to do their thing.
I saw a funny line the other day. The person said, I only like to bet on like boxing and UFC. Cause if the guy I bet on loses, at least he got his ass kicked.
It's true.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh,
yeah, that's a good point, though. I mean, one thing that, you know, obviously with team sports, there's something to be said for having to win or lose as a team as well. But it is nice to know that if you go take care of your business, it's up to you.
It's all on you.
Yeah, I always loved baseball because it's a team sport, but it is individual. Like, it always is. You can see who screwed up at one point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, you either hit it or you didn't. Either made the play or you didn't. Either pitched it right or you didn't.
Yep. Yep.
So it's kind of like a best of both worlds kind of thing.
Yeah. But love baseball.
What kind of stuff do you do for recovery? Or what kind of stuff should a normal person be doing to help their health right now? What are some of the stuff that you guys are, I'm sure, on the cutting edge of knowing how to take care of yourselves and your bodies? What are some things that we should be looking at to take care of ourselves?
Finding a good massage therapist. I think that I don't ice bath as much because I'll do it on the days I don't train because you're basically counteracting what you just did. So you're working out hard. You're tearing these muscle fibers. Then you're getting in, you need inflammation to build muscle and getting into the cold tub, you're taking away that inflammation. So I don't do that too often. I do the red light sauna. Mm-hmm. Got one of those and that thing is night and day,
like, really,
as far as recovery, sleeping better. I mean, that thing is, yeah, best.
How does that work with the red light there? I've heard about it a lot.
So it pushes deeper into the muscles to help bring those blood cells up and bringing natural growth up too. So yeah, it's seriously night and day. Like I'll be hurting sitting that for 45 to an hour is where they say like is a good time. Wake up the next morning, I'm like, well,
feeling good,
good to go. Yeah. And then the days I don't, it's like I'm rolling out of bed, not jumping.
Wow. So is that big of a difference?
So yeah.
That's cool. What where does one go to learn how to do more if they want to get into like being a World's Strongest Man or just again, just becoming stronger?
I feel like in the US it's finally breaking through as far as like a lot more coaching, a lot more gyms are popping up. Just the environment. The environment's so good in the US.
Is like, the gym you go to, is it open?
Yep. Yep. What's it called? It's the Forge Gym, okay. Off Center Street in Orem.
Okay.
So just a little gym, but it's got everything you need to get strong. So,
well, I'm that, it's funny you talked about that MDK project. So I actually am signed up to go in June. I'm going to go do it. And, I need to go in prepared though. And so I'm getting into the best. I'm literally spending the next 3 months to get ready for it. It's a lot of hikes with, you know, weighted vests and things like that, but a lot of stuff like carrying logs and rocks and stuff like that. Yes. Yeah, the sledgehammer. Yeah. And so I want to make sure that if I'm going to go do it, you know, that you're I'm prepared for it. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll probably come in and do a couple laps around them with the logs every now and then or something.
Let's do it, man. We'll put you in shape.
I love it, dude. What's the best thing and worst thing about being so strong?
The best thing is that I never have to worry about like picking things up. Like obviously there's you know, there's certain things. It's like,
yeah, you literally can just right. pick everything up.
Yeah,
people always ask you to help them move.
Oh yeah. All the time. Yeah. If I didn't train on Saturdays, I'm sure that's what I'd be doing. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm strong, but I don't want to move pianos.
You're kind of like a fun party trick. Like if I wanted to just mess with people, I'm like, hey guys, I'm not gonna be able to come help move, but I called one of my buddies. He's going to come in my place. And then you show up. They'd just be like, well played, all right. Jimmy. Well played.
All right. And then the worst thing I'd say is like people, I feel like there's kind of a stigma on, you know, as far as training, weight training or getting strong. If I think people maybe look at you like you're arrogant or
there's a weird, like some people do look down on it almost when it's taking care of your body at the ultimate level.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And at the end of the day, like the gym, even if I wasn't doing strongman, it'd be part of my life, you know, mm-hmm. because it's my zen. It's where I go to just put the time in.
Same. And
just
I go to the gym pretty much every day. If I don't go, I don't feel right that day.
Yeah. You just feel off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to train in the mornings and it just carried on through the whole day. Mm-hmm. You know,
do you have a time of day you prefer to work out?
Yeah. Afternoon's the best. That's when I feel like I got my most energy, which is weird.
Same. Well, it's funny because I used to work out in the mornings early and I didn't like that because it just felt like my day went forever if I worked out too early.
Yeah.
If I go at night, it's like I was dragging a little by then. I was a little out of energy. But it was funny. The first time I had a buddy and he was a pretty strong guy and he was like, hey, come work out with me. I was like, cool, what time you go? And he's like, 2 o'clock. I'm like, what?
2 o'clock?
I'm like, you can't work out at 2 o'clock. It's the middle of the workday. He was a realtor as well. And I remember thinking like, dude, what kind of loser is just taking a break in the middle of their day to work out? Yeah. And then I went and did it and I was like, oh, this is fantastic because it felt like I could give my all morning long, kind of looking forward to that break to go to the gym. And then as soon as I was done at the gym, I had this second wind to kind of give me three, four more hours at night, you know? And so, yeah, I bet I work out. I work out, I mean, 75% of the time, I bet I work out between 11 and 4 o'clock.
And it's probably not too packed.
That's the other nice thing is that you get access to whatever you're trying to use.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends if I'm trying, like when I'm newly single or something, sometimes I'll go to the start working out at like 5:30 p.m., 6 p.m., because that's when all the girls go, you know? Yeah, exactly. But no, that's awesome, man. Well, dude, it's pretty cool to watch what you're doing. For people that want to watch you and watch you in these upcoming contests, where do we find them at?
So World Strongest Man will be airing, it's usually in July, CBS Sports. But you can find me on Instagram, KF_strongman. I've got a YouTube, it's getting started up, and then I got my own brand, P4P, pound for pound.
Pound for pound, I like that. Pound for pound
brand. So yeah, check me out.
I love it, dude. Have you ever considered doing anything else like the UFC or anything like that?
I had a small moment of UFC, kind of just, hey, I'm wrestling, why not? But it's
obviously very different.
I mean, dude, those guys got some heart, man.
Oh yeah.
You know, to get punched in the face. Cause it's fun to punch people in the face, but it ain't so fun
to get punched in the face. Yeah.
So I had two fights, one and one.
So you did do a couple fights.
Yeah. I did some UFC fights. I don't know if you remember, Throwdown.
Oh yeah, of course.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
That was way before Strongman, but
yeah,
it was a good time.
I love it, man. Well, dude, thank you so much. It'll be fun to follow you now and kind of watch your journey. And I'm going to head over to that gym and you'll see me over there a few times.
Okay. Sounds good, man.
Thanks, Kevin. You're a pleasure, man.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. And this podcast was brought to you by Steve DeYoung over at Trillion Mortgage. I've sold thousands of homes in my real estate career, and there's nobody I trust more than Steve over at Trillion Mortgage. So reach out to him, give him a call if you're looking to refinance your home or to maybe buy a new property. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. If you liked what you heard, do me a favor. This is a free podcast. The one thing I ask of my audience is to leave me a review. This just helps me to get better and better guests, to let more people know about this show so they too can benefit from the Jimmy Rex Show. So thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you on the next episode.